Praise the Lord. That's a good song, good testimonies, and a good night. Luke 13 and verse 6. Luke 13 and verse 6. And then take your Bibles and turn to Revelation 2. But our text comes from Luke chapter 13, and we'll just look at a verse in Revelation chapter 2. Of course, as you know, in our Sunday school class, we're going through the book of Revelation, and we are actually in Revelation 2 after I don't know how many months, and it will be just like that. It'll be very slow, but there's a verse in Revelation 2 that bothers me. I'm not preaching on that. I am teaching it in our Revelation class, but a truth that is found there that bothers me, and the best way to deal with that truth, I think, is in Luke 13:6. He spake also this parable: a certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came and sought fruit thereon, and found none. And then said he unto the dresser of his vineyard, behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and find none. Cut it down, why cumbereth it the ground? And he answering said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also, till I shall dig about it and dung it. And if it bear fruit, well, and if not, then after that thou shalt cut it down. And that truth is, that's a tough truth. But Revelation 2, the thing that's been really bugging me is the candlesticks, of course. And we've talked about that. Those are the seven candlesticks or seven churches. He says that very clearly in the scripture, and there's no question about that. And he's talking to the church at Ephesus in chapter 2, and Jesus says, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. And that's what, that bothers me. He said, I'm going to remove your candlesticks. I said this morning in our Sunday school class, that there is no eternal security for a church. Now, we have eternal security. Christians, we are saved. Once you're saved, you're always saved. Praise God. Nothing can happen to our salvation. I mean, it's impossible. When you get saved, you are God's child, and nothing changes that. Nothing. Doesn't matter what you do. God will deal with you. He'll chasten you. He'll deal with you. But there is no eternal security for a church. There have been great churches that have come and gone. There have been great churches, ran buses, went soul winning, won souls, and today they're closed. There are some that won souls, had fair ministries, went soul winning, ran buses, and today they maybe don't have an evening service. Oh, they're still open, but they don't have an evening service. They don't have an altar call, don't have soul winning, don't care about people in jail, don't care about people in nursing homes, don't care about people at the fair that are lost. They've got their own agenda because they quit telling people how to be saved. They quit giving out the gospel that we talked about this morning. And therefore, they're an organization just like an Elks Club, just like a Moose Club, just like a Rotary Club. They're an organization. They gather together. But there's something missing, and that's a candlestick. Because if you refuse to be a light, if you refuse to light the candle, God says, I'm going to take away your candlestick. There is no eternal security for a church. And here's the message tonight. It's God's looking for fruit. I mean, really, that's what he's looking for. The church at Ephesus, he said, you are working so hard. You're good, hard workers. But he knew this. He knew that someday, because they left that first love, the reason they were working in the first place, because, God, we love you. We'll do anything you want us to do. We love you. He knew that pretty soon, it wouldn't be long, and they'd get tired of doing all the work because they don't love him anymore. Not like they used to love him. And God said, you know what? When that happens, you'll quit working. And when you quit working, pretty soon there won't be any fruit. And God's looking for fruit. God is looking for fruit at Berean Baptist Church. God is looking for fruit from your bus route. God is looking for fruit from your Sunday school class. God is looking for fruit from our vacation Bible school. God is looking for fruit this week at the fair ministry. God is looking for fruit. This passage, in Luke, for example, here's a fig tree that's planted in a vineyard, and it's supposed to bring forth what? Fruit. And the whole point is, when it doesn't bring forth fruit, God says, hey, it's time to get rid of this fig tree. We have to deal with this fig tree. Do you feel like maybe God dealing with you a little bit? Well, maybe God is trying to get you to bring forth fruit, because He's looking for fruit. He's looking for fruit. And honestly, this message, and I'll try to move right along here, but it is really the reason why we're here. We're here to bear fruit. We're here to bring forth fruit, and that fruit glorifies God. We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. He wants us to bring forth fruit. He wants there to be a result of our life. Have you ever thought, when you die, have you ever thought, you know, when I die, what's the result of my life? Because that's all fruit is. Fruit is a result of something. What is the result of your life? What did I do? What did I do for Christ? We've heard testimony about Jesus dying on the cross and all He went through. The truth is, what did we do for Him? Somebody said, well, we are debtors to give out the gospel, and that is true. But the truth, let's go one step further. We're debtors to give Him our life. And that life is a life that should bring forth fruit. And fruit is simply the result of our life. What have we done with our life? Has anyone been saved because you got saved? Has anyone gotten saved because of your life? And again, when fruit is expected, understand, God is going to be watching for fruit. And God watches Berean Baptist Church. Again, I don't want the candlestick to be taken away. There are churches all over this town that are still called churches, but there's no candlestick, there's no light, there's no fruit. There hadn't been fruit for years. There hadn't been a soul saved for years. There hadn't been a person told how to be saved for years. You say, well, that's sad for those churches. But you know how it starts? It starts with Christians who never tell. That's where it all starts. Sometimes we get the idea, I'll talk to a missionary. One of the questions I ask, you're going to such and such field, do you win souls? Well, you know, I'm waiting to get on my field. Then I don't bring them in. I'm not interested in them. If you won't win souls on this field, you won't win souls on that field either. You know, sometimes we get the idea, well, I'll go somewhere else. Look, let me tell you this. The question is asked in the Old Testament, is the seed yet in the barn? If the seed's in the barn, then the seed's not going out, right? And if the seed's in the barn, all you're going to do is take your barn and move it somewhere else and keep the seed in the barn somewhere else, you've just wasted a whole lot of time. If you're not going to win souls here, you're not going to win souls somewhere else. And if you're not going to win souls here, why would we give you our mission money to send you somewhere else? But the whole idea, folks, is this. If it's okay, God's looking at our church, God's watching, God's looking for fruit, and what are you going to do about it? What are we going to do about it? Here's what we see here, and just real quick, I'll go through the outline here. And again, the first thing we see is the tree. The tree. Verse 6, it says, certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came and he sought fruit thereon, and he found none. There's the tree. First thing we see is its fruit. It's a fig tree. Fig trees are supposed to bring forth what? Figs. Amen? And it's a fig tree. It is supposed to be a fruit-bearing tree. It's not a shade tree. It's not a tree that is just supposed to be there. It is a fig tree. It is supposed to bring forth fruit. It has the potential for fruit. It is a fig tree. It's like a Christian. The fruit of righteousness is a tree of life. You know, what's the fruit of us? It's a tree of life. It's more life, more life, more life. We're supposed to be winning souls and seeing more people saved. That's the fruit of the righteous. It's a tree of life. I mean, you say, well, you know, I think God made me just to be a big old shade tree and give everybody comfort. No, He didn't. You're a fruit tree. We're all just fruits. Amen. Don't tell God He didn't know what He was doing. Don't tell God that, God, I was supposed to be a shade tree. I'm just supposed to comfort everyone around me. God, I'm supposed to be a weeping willow. I just tell everybody all my problems. No, you are supposed to bear fruit. And fruit is life. We're supposed to be bringing forth more and more life through soul winning, through our soul winning ministries, through our fair ministry, our vacation Bible school ministry, our Sunday school class, our bus ministry, our Reformers Unanimous, our prison ministry. That's what it's all about. That's why we're here. There is no other reason why we're here. That's why there's a candlestick. Amen. That's why there's a light. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. What's it supposed to? Okay, it's shining. It's shining so everybody can know they can come and gather under our branches and get shade. No. No. It's shining so that people can know there's fruit here. And you know what that does? That brings glory to God. Fruit brings glory to God. Number one, we see the tree. We see the first thing about the tree is we see its fruit. Its fruit. Next thing we see is its field. The Bible says here he had a fig tree planted in a vineyard. You know, a vineyard's a good place to plant a fig tree. By the way, if you are a fig tree, being in a vineyard's a good place to be in. I mean, it's all set up for you to bring forth fruit. Everything's set up. And by the way, Berean Baptist Church is a good vineyard. Adrian, Michigan's a good place to have a vineyard. Amen. It's our place. It's where we are. And boy, you talk about the field that we have. There's lost people all around us. All around us, there's people that are lost. They're without Christ. They need Jesus. Somebody says, "Oh, you know, look at all the churches and look at this." And there are until every lost person is reached, we're supposed to be telling them, run the buses, knock on the doors. Open the doors. Always give the gospel every chance we get. Why? That's our field. Our field, planted in a vineyard. Look, this tree wasn't put out on the wayside. It was put in a vineyard. Amen. Reminds me of Psalm 1. You know, planted by the river. Planted, amen. You know, I mean, where God can do something with it. We need God's power. We're not going to do anything in and of ourselves. Planted by the river of living water. And you know, that's your church. Not by the wayside, not out in the middle of a desert, but you have a church. You have opportunity over and over, week after week after week after week after week after week, opportunity to win souls to Christ. Opportunity to be involved in soul winning ministry. Opportunity, opportunity, opportunity. You know, to work nursery is to open the door to give somebody an opportunity to sit in the service and hear the gospel. Can you imagine if there had been 10 lost people sitting in our service this morning, they would have heard clearly, no question about how they could be saved. And if the only way they could have come to church and the only way they could have heard the message was because you watched their baby, praise God, you had an opportunity. You had an opportunity. As long as there's an invitation given, as long as the gospel is given, and it's clear in Sunday school classes, it's clear in the church services, an invitation's given, and everybody is told, you can come, you can be saved today. Boy, I'll tell you what, the vineyard looks good. And you have an opportunity. You're planted in this vineyard to bring forth fruit. It's field. Favorable place. Under the eye of the gardener, protected by the walls. Sounds like the local church to me. Amen. Huh? What a privilege of a believer to be in a local church and to have God's protection and to have God's blessing and to have God's power and to be a part of a soul-winning ministry. You know, we thought we were going to paint the baptistry. We thought all that was taken care of. We thought everything was ready. It was going to get painted. We knew it'd be dry today. We just knew it was going to be dry. That was the plan. And then all of a sudden, that doesn't work out. And we weren't able to paint the baptistry last week. And it didn't get done. At first I said, what is the deal? Why is this happening? Why can't we get this thing painted? And a young man came this morning wanting to get baptized. Amen. I said, Lord, now I know. It's nice to be in a vineyard like that where God runs things. It's nice to be in a vineyard where God picks out the song that goes along with the youth conference that probably got planned 1 year ago. And God knew exactly what everybody's going to talk about and knew what they'd say and what would be the nice song to go right along with it. God knows all those things. That's a good vineyard. It's a good place. I want to remind you of something. God said this. He said, I've chosen you and ordained you that ye should bring forth fruit. He wants you to bring. Don't you think he'll put you in an environment where you can bring forth fruit? He will. What about the tree? Well, we've seen its fruit. We've seen its field. The third thing we see, though, is its failure. Because in verse 7, then said he unto the dresser of his vineyard, behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and I find none. It's failure. No fruit. How could that be? That's not possible. How could this tree, that's a fig tree, it's made to bring forth fruit, how could it possibly not be bringing forth fruit? That's not possible. It's the right kind of tree. It's in the right place. It's had the right care. But you see, the tree neglected to rise up to its potential. Oh, the tree said, no, 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 you don't understand. The vineyard's bad. Okay, now we're going to blame God. We'll blame God for the vineyard. Right? No, 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 it's the gardener. The gardener. Now we're going to blame God. The one who's watching over us. No, no, really, it's a tree neglecting to rise up to its potential. Don't blame God. You know, we need to bring forth fruit. We need to keep bringing forth. God's looking for fruit. God isn't looking for anything else. God's not, you know, well, how's the offering? You know, we need an offering. We need to pay the bill. I tell God every week, God, the bills are yours. You pay the bills. You know what he tells me every week? You need to win souls. You know what he tells you every week? You need to win souls. You need to tell people. You need to make it possible. You need to put hooks out. Lots of hooks. Hooks here, hooks there, hooks there. I mean, we need to fish for men. Amen. We need to be fishers of men, and we need to have hooks all over our community, everywhere. Everything we do ought to be about telling people about Jesus Christ. Every opportunity. You ought to have tracts always with you. You ought to be handing out tracts everywhere you go. Everywhere you go. People ought to, they ought to have our tracts memorized. They ought to know, oh, I've seen that. Oh, I've read that. Oh, I know that tract. Amen. Because they see it so much. Because there's a whole bunch of us. It's the way it ought to be. God didn't plant us here so that we could be an ornament. God didn't plant us here to be a shade tree. God planted fruit trees that are to produce fruit. And if we're not producing fruit, then we're not proving our nature. How do you know a fig tree is a fig tree? By its figs. How do you know an orange tree is an orange tree? By its oranges. How do you know an apple tree is an apple tree? By the apples. By the fruit. How do you know a Christian's a Christian? By their fruit. I understand there's a lot of fruit. There's the fruit of the Spirit. I understand the result of the Spirit being in us. I understand all that, but I really believe God is looking, as far as our candlestick is concerned, he's looking, what are you doing? What are you doing? Well, bless God, I'm glad I'm part of a soul-winning church. But when is the last time you told anybody about Jesus? When is the last time you handed out a gospel tract? The gospel, the good news that is absolutely perfect. I'm amazed how many Christians get up in the morning, look in the mirror and say, you know, I'm looking good, I'm a pretty good Christian, and I'm doing all right. But if there's no fruit in your life, you're not looking so good. Not to the gardener and not to the owner of the garden. How can we prove Christ is in us? Fruit. Fruit. Amen. God's looking. God is looking for fruit. The tree. Number one. Number two is the truth. The truth. Watch what it says. He said, behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit. You ever think about God's long-suffering? 3 years. How long have you been saved and not had any fruit? Or maybe you used to have fruit in your life and now it's barren. Nothing. You understand, of course, that you're treated like a fruit-bearing tree. What do you mean? Well, God blesses you and takes care of you. The gardener, the fig tree, you know, its roots are down in the ground and it's taken up minerals and it's taken up the water and everything, just like all the other trees. I mean, right next to it might be a fig tree with figs all over it. And this tree over here that's barren for 3 years, there's been nothing on it. I mean, it's sucking up all the water into it. It's taking the minerals out of the ground into it. It might be shading and blocking the fruit-producing tree from getting the sun that it needs. And the truth is, you know what? The owner of the vineyard, he's absolutely right when he says he ought to cut it down. But his long-suffering, isn't that something? I mean, you get the same water, the same fertilizer, the same care, the same watching over, the same wall is around your area as it is around the other trees, but you just don't bear fruit. And so he only has one choice, and that is cut it down. Cut it down. And he asks an awesome question here. He really does. Why cumbereth it the ground? It's a hindrance to the others. The roots are taking water from the others. The leaves are shading the sun. And I'll be honest with you. Fruitlessness in a Christian's life is backsliding, and it is cumbering to the whole vineyard. Brother Dale and I, we were talking, you know, folks were painting over at the school and busy and serving and active and everything. And I believe it was after the second day that there was painting going on and everything. He said, boy, he said, no, it was work day. He said, man, we had a great work day. All these people came in there working and everybody seemed so happy and nobody griped and complained. I got news for you. There won't be any griping and complaining out at the tent either. Bible says in Isaiah 7:13, hope deferred maketh the heart sick. There's a God in heaven looking for fruit. And he hopes for it. Amen. Fruit bearing is the only reason to keep a fruit tree. Right? Sure it is. And the privilege abused is a privilege lost. Why cumbereth it the ground? That's the truth. That's the truth. What's he say though? He says in verse 8, he answering said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also, till I shall dig about it and dung it. He's labored for, he's watched it, he's cared for it, and yet he got no credit. He gets no credit, no fruit at all out of it. Nothing. Nothing out of this tree. All the effort, all the work, and nothing. Because fruit brings the gardener glory. And fruit in our lives brings Jesus glory. And yet he says, how about another year? Do you know before a church has Ichabod written over it, there's a lot of years like that. There's a lot of another year. Couldn't we go another year? Because Christ loves the church. Ephesians 5, read it. Amen. He loves the church. He loves us. He wants you to have a vineyard. And he wants it to be a fruit-producing vineyard. Do you know how many towns there are in America that have no soul-winning church in them? They're everywhere. They used to.
Well, I don't know if I like my, you know.
Have you ever, what? Okay. Do you understand that people that are producing fruit very seldom complain about anything? They just don't have a lot of problems. Not fruit producers. You know who's having problems right here? Is folks, you haven't produced fruit in years. Amen. You sound like this kind of message. I don't like it either, but it's the truth. I've been reading Revelation 2 and I've been thinking, wow, the candlestick is removed. I'd hate to see that, but it's happening all over America. Churches that used to stand for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Hey, if you don't give out the gospel, you're not standing for the gospel. You know what? If we're not giving out the gospel, we're ashamed of the gospel. We apologize for the gospel. We apologize that, oh, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We apologize for that. We have to tell you this. Sorry. Bible does say it. We're sorry about it. No, listen to me. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God is their death sentence. We have life to offer. There's nothing to be ashamed of at all. Jesus desires fruit. In John 17, he prays. Before he's crucified, he says, I pray not that thou shouldst take them out of the world. I pray not that you take them out of the world. Leave them here. Let them bring forth fruit. And he says, how about another year? Let's give them another year. That brings me to number three, and that's the trial, because digging and dunging, to me, that sounds like a trial. Let it alone this year also, till I shall dig about it and dung it. Digging and dunging. Dig, I say ouch. Dung, I say yuck. I don't know what you say. Sounds to me like chastening. Sounds like affliction. Sounds like trial. Sounds like you dig around those roots, and it's like a warning to us, but it's only a warning. Seems like you dig around those roots and shakes those roots up, and I'll be honest with you, we need shook up sometime. And he fertilizes with the word of God, and how many times are we in a trial and going through a tough time and chastening, and God sends the word that we need. And every stab with a shovel, God is saying, I want to see fruit, I want to see fruit, I want to see fruit, I want to see fruit. Gossip is not fruit. Knowing all the information on everybody, that's not fruit. It's not. You know what fruit is? Fruit is, you've got the gospel, go tell people. Fruit is, I'm going to serve, I'm going to get involved, I'm going to do everything I can to bring people to Christ. That's fruit. Fruit is getting people saved. And he says, more fruit, more fruit, more fruit, more fruit. Sometimes, have you ever thought that maybe all of Michigan is going through all of what Michigan's going through, so we go through what we're going through? You say, oh, preacher, I just don't think that. How big is your God? He is big. I'm just saying, he just wants to see fruit. Do we want to be what we are made to be? Fruit producers. Verse 9, it says, if it bear fruit, well, and if not, then after that. See, that after that bothers me. After that, thou shalt cut it down. After that. Dig, dung, dig, dung, dig, dung. We just say phooey on that stuff, and God just says, okay, well, we'll just cut it down. We have such a great opportunity. All the fruit testifies of the Lord Jesus Christ and what he's done in our life. The fact that we could give out the gospel is an amazing thing, isn't it? I mean, think about it. It's an amazing thing. But there will be trials to get our attention. Do we care? Number four, we see the triumph, because verse 9 says this, if it bear fruit, well. Well. What's well? What's well when there's fruit? You know, we had 79 people saved at Vacation Bible School. That's well. 17 saved today in the prison. That's well. Amen. Glory to God. You say, amen, I'm glad I'm a part. And I'm glad you are too. But you know what happens is fewer and fewer people are fruit trees. And pretty soon there's no fruit. The triumph is the fruit. But number five, I close with this, and that's the trouble. And that's it being cut down. If not, cut it down. And that brings me back to Revelation, having that candlestick removed. That's why churches close. I don't mean close their doors. Quit. That's why churches, you know, come on. That's how they become glorified nightclubs. God just takes away his candlestick. There's no light shining in there toward Jesus. There's light shining on a lot of flesh. I don't want light to shine on flesh. I want light to shine on Jesus Christ. And there's one way that happens, and that's fruit. Souls getting saved week after week after week after week after week. And you know what? If it doesn't happen, then it ought to be cut down. Wouldn't you agree? I agree. In Mark 12, there's a vineyard. The husbandman, the owner has a husbandman, and the husbandman is supposed to take care of it, and there's no fruit going to the owner. The owner says, look, he says, I'm going to send my servant to find out what happened, why there's no fruit. So he sends his servant, and they kill the servant. By the way, this is a good story about Israel and what God did to them because they were not bringing forth fruit. And he sent another servant. The servant said, hey, what's going on? They killed him too. Wait a minute, the owner wants fruit out of this vineyard, and why can't he get fruit? And everybody that the owner sends, they killed him. And the Bible says, finally, they killed his son, which is what Israel, of course, the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. But here's what's said about that. It said this way, it said, give the vineyard to others. When I read that, it really bothered me. Give the vineyard to others. What's it all based on? It's all based on fruit. It's all based on fruit. You know what God's given? God's given us a wonderful vineyard here. He really has. The opportunity to bring forth fruit. It's just week after week after week. It is such an opportunity. Well, I don't like this. I don't like that. Okay, get away from all that stuff and just try doing this. Thank you, God, for our vineyard. Thank you so much, Father, for the vineyard that you've given us. You put it in a good spot because there's lost people all around us. There's unsaved people all around here. And you know what? There's only one person for you to blame if you're not having any fruit on your tree, and that's you. Do not blame anybody else. It's you. Okay? Because I promise you this, others are same trees in the same vineyard, they got fruit popping out all over the place. God's looking for fruit. That's what he's looking for, folks. He's looking for fruit. And what does he see? You know, you have a great opportunity. Again, another week. What an opportunity we all have to see fruit. And fruit that remains. The most important thing the Christian can possibly do is give out that gospel. And we have an opportunity. I hope we'll take advantage of it. And I hope we'll be saying to the Lord, Lord, I kind of feel some digging and dunging here, but we're going to bring forth fruit. By the way, do you know that it doesn't matter what other trees are doing? I can only bring forth fruit with this tree. Now, as a pastor, I can try to inspire trees. You know, I can try to encourage trees. I can try to do all those kind of things. But I'm responsible for this tree. And let me just tell you this, too. When you get to the place, say, well, that tree wasn't doing anything. 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 So, ha, I'm not doing anything either. And the axe will feel the same. Okay? This vineyard here, we have nothing to complain about, or we have nothing to worry about, because all the other vineyards around here, they're not doing anything either. We're brighter than them. Do you know that put out is put out? We're not supposed to compare. What are we supposed to do? Bring forth all the fruit we can. We have tree, 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 tree. Fruit. Should be all kinds of fruit. Week after week after week. Fruit. 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 When there's fruit, people are happy. I guarantee. You drive down, I remember the first time I drove to Orlando, driving from the north. And, boy, you look at those orange groves, and I mean, you know, it's amazing. And we saw all those orange groves. There's oranges out there all over. I mean, for miles you see oranges. And then we went by one time and drove that same path when there had been a frost several months earlier. And I'll tell you what, it was like, look at that. That's nasty looking. Whoa. Hard to believe it was the same road, isn't it? It's hard to believe it's the same life. It really is. I look at some folks, and you know, there was a fire, you were excited, and it was when there was fruit. It was when there was a bud, because, you know, I talked to my neighbor, and my neighbor's about, they're that close to getting saved. Oh, I talked to my coworker, and they're about to come to church. I know they will. They'll get saved, and there's buds all over the place, and that's exciting. But, you know, I'm the weeping willow tree. My job in life is to weep. Well, you're doing a good job at what you think your job is. That isn't your job. Your job's fruit. You're not a weeping willow. You're not a big shade tree. You're a fruit tree. And it's up to us to bring forth fruit. Let's bow our heads, please. Heads are bowed. Eyes are closed. No one looking around. How many would say, preacher, God?